Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. So, God is on the move, concluding this series, but not God's movement. Lord, we just invite you in. Lord, it is beautiful to sing together and worship together and to be stirred again, Lord, in just what you might be doing in our time and place. And so however we may approach as individuals, as people, a topic like this, Lord, may we step forward with you as you lead us, and may we be open to your stirring and see what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You know, we've obviously been talking about some of the different ways throughout history where God has just done significant things, right? Different places, different people groups, different flavors of the church, but yet just being able to track back and see how God has actually moved. We've looked at some of the typical kind of precursors, some of those things that tend to happen each time that we see revival or renewal happening in different parts of the world. Last week we had Rosemary Wallace here. I mean, that was fun, wasn't it? Having Rosemary, she wrote that book Fresh Fire, and it's just a great track record, a great history of New Zealand's renewal and revival stories. And she messaged Matt just this week to say, went back into another rest home and led 11 people to Christ just this week, you know, since she was with us last Sunday. It's cool, just a little seed thought. If you're here, you'll be familiar with that sort of story of hers. And actually, there were lots of other different ideas that we all sort of got together and talked about. Keep them coming, by the way, those things that God might be just inviting us into being a part of. What about Habakkuk 3 and verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. Lord, if it's happened in other places, if it's happened in other times, why not here? Why not now? In our time, in our neck of the woods. So what I want to try and do today is just to pull together some of the threads of what we've been talking about. And then I want to just invite us into responding to this in some way. Because I think the reality is that we can talk about this, but it does actually require something of a response from us. Both, you know, here and now, today, but perhaps even more importantly in the weeks, days, months, you know, ahead. If you want a title for today, call this Revival Desire. Revival Desire. I don't know about you, but a few weeks ago, as Jacinda sort of led us off into the series, I actually really appreciated her talking about some of the hesitations that we might have about revival, or even the term revival, the thought, the notion of. You know, for some of us here in the room or with us online, you hear revival and you're like, heck yes, you know, like, yeah, let's go. But for others, the reality is that for some reason, there may well be some hesitations to that. You know, there may be a sense of cynicism a little bit to even that term. It's the type of thing that happens in other places, but it'll never happen here. Or, I've heard all this before. I've even hoped for that in the past, but I never really saw evidence of it. And actually, it just left me a little bit disappointed. And so I'm a bit gun shy about even talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it. Or it's a yes, but what might it cost me? In time and energy and focus, what might I need to sacrifice for myself personally in order to be a part of that story that God might be wanting to do? Or it's just an ambivalence, you know? Just, yeah, whatever. Or maybe you're like, man, I've got enough going on in my own world, you know, to sort of worry about a bigger picture of what God might be doing in the nation, you know? And I think with those hesitancies that we have, I think it's really healthy and good for us to be honest and to be upfront with ourselves about it, if not the people around us. But then obviously to invite God into those hesitancies. You know, as I heard sort of Jacinda talking about that, I recognized some of that in my own life. I felt that invitation from God again, just open them up again. Allow God to help you to process that through. And it's not like in us talking about this, we have this sort of expectation that tomorrow, revival is going to break out all over New Zealand. You know? All right, that would be awesome. But what it is just that we sense, and not just here, not just at Coast Vineyard, lots of other churches around the traps are talking about this and sensing this, you know, at the moment. It seems like something's just stirring a bit fresh. And maybe it's sort of a post-COVID sort of, you know, curve back out. I don't know. But we don't want to miss what God's doing. We don't want to let those hesitancies to stop us from actually being able to step in, right? Right? So I thought that a good place to actually start really talking about this is answering the question, why do we want revival? Why do we want revival? Why do we want to see revival take place in the first place? Why do I want revival? Why do you want revival? I sense for many of us that this is a really important and helpful question for us to actually land on. To be able to talk to the person next to you, or maybe at your group this week, why do you want to see revival? And look, if you've been a Christian 5 minutes, you know the right answer to the question of, do you want revival? You know, yes, I want, you know. But just to dig a little bit beyond that, why? Why do you want revival? And I'm not going to hazard a guess to answer every why in the room, but I do want to sow some seeds of some things that you might be helpful to think about, particularly if you're really not quite sure about this whole thing. You see, revival comes with a renewal of personal faith. A renewal of personal faith. It will be a blessing to you. As you see and witness God moving in the lives of people or yourself, it will renew and revive something of your personal walk with Jesus. It's good for our faith. It's good for you and me to step into. There is that sense of coming alive again. You know, if you've ever prayed for someone and seen them healed, or you've seen something miraculous in God happen, it encourages your faith, doesn't it? And so if we see that happening around us, it will refresh and renew personal faith. because we will also get to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit firsthand. You know, I know it's cool to read about these stories, and some of them in our nation and some of them further away, but imagine being a part of seeing those stories outworked now. Imagine being able to tell your kids or your friends, man, those years from 2025 through to, man, we just saw the power of God work, and it was like, it wasn't orchestrated, it was just amazing. The kingdom of God expands. You know, so the places where Jesus is king increases, and the hallmarks of that kingdom are established more and more. Peace, love for one another, and honoring of life, where morality and ethical practices increase. Businesses operate with integrity. Families are given fresh life and vitality. Marriages are strengthened and restored. And this is all just part of renewal and revival. And of course, that leads on and can lead on to cultural renewal. Our nation as a whole can be impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can actually see his fingerprints. We could see his fingerprints upon all different levels of society, all the nooks and crannies, all the businesses, all the decision-making that's taking place. Significantly transforming the place around us, helping to turn our nation into one that is honoring of God. And of course, this stuff that we're talking about, it's with your friends and family. It's with your colleagues. It's with your loved ones. It's the people that you care about. Seeing them come alive in Jesus. Having the people that you care about the most being able to experience Jesus like you have. I think that would be pretty cool. Why do I want to see revival? Why do you want to see revival? In Scripture, there's lots of different places that we could go, right, to be encouraged about seeing God move in truly miraculous ways. But I came across a particular psalm and just preparing for this morning that I think would actually serve us really well as we think about this. And so if you've got your Bibles, you want to open it up on your phone and so forth, then I'd love you to turn into Psalm 63, all right? Psalm 63. And as you're turning there, there's a little note that you might see at the top of your version of the Bible where it says, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. And they think that it was actually written, that David wrote this psalm when he was on the run from Absalom. Now, it's a bit of an involved story that I'm not going to go into all the details of, but the headline is, Absalom is David's son, and he is trying to take over David's kingship. And David and his men have fled, and here they are in the desert of Judah. Which hopefully brings to life a little bit more some of the words, the beautiful words that we see within the psalm, right? You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. You know, you can understand that language a little bit more, right? They're in the desert, parched land. No water. In verse 2, I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Stunning line 8. Because your love is better than life. I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Even though it might look dry and parched, even though my own son is seeking to kill me, even though I've made very serious mistakes that have led me to being in this predicament in the first place. David wasn't squeaky clean. But despite all of that, I will find myself fully satisfied in you, Lord. Verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. This beautiful picture, right? Of being far from the reality of what he longs to see, yet trusting in the character of God. John Goldingay, who's an Old Testament scholar, talking about this psalm, he says, the person in the psalm is able to live with the frustration and the ache of present circumstances because the God present in Jerusalem is also the God present in the wilderness. God present in Jerusalem, where he's been kicked out of or run from, is also the God present in the wilderness. And in the context for us and thinking about, you know, renewal and revival, you know, sometimes we can look at the sort of current reality and be discouraged, right? We can see the headlines on TV or wherever, and it's like, it's not often positive about the church or about Christianity, is it? And we can too easily sort of take on board or go along with or be discouraged by those headlines. We can look at our current reality and think, man, the task is too big. But the same God that's moved in the hearts of people through the centuries, who has brought an answer to the ache of the human heart, who has brought his light into places that looked so dark, is also the God who can move in our current reality. Some of those statements that David uses in that psalm are, I reckon, are just like great litmus tests for us, right? My whole being longs for you. Could you say that to the person next to you when talking about God? With everything that I have, Lord, I long for you. Or in verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. No matter what comes to me in life, no matter what the circumstances look like, I will see that there is life in you that is better than life itself. Or in verse 5, like we were talking about before, I will be fully satisfied with the richest fare. Lord, I want to find myself fully satisfied in you. Or in verse 7, I sing in the shadow of the wings. You know, that picture of like an eagle that would shelter its young. Whatever, again, whatever's going on around, Lord, I'm held within your protection. Compassion, care. Acknowledging current reality, but still trusting in the character of God. And even, oh, Matt, I found that. That was quite clever, wasn't it? And even as we look back at the broader story of God's people, you know, in the Old Testament, we see this ebb and flow, right? Of the Israelites walking with God and then walking away from him. It's not really actually that different to as we track through history. Circumstances, situations of people ebbing and flowing in this relationship and walking all without God. This pattern of sin and apathy and decline and defeat, then desperate prayer for God's help, and finally his powerful intervention. I mean, the Vineyard Church is birthed out of that. You know, through the 60s and 70s, this hippie movement, free love, that was destroying people's lives. And God came miraculously. It's in our DNA as a church, you know. And even within our lifetime, you know, to have sort of witnessed that decline, you know, mainstream churches, you know, all of us probably know the stats, mainstream churches in decline, and just that general sort of awareness of God within culture going, it seems to be going down, right? And it having some pretty significant ramifications for what that means for society in general, right? But maybe that, like, helps to poise us even more on the edge of what God might be wanting to do in terms of that renewal and revival. I don't know. But I'd certainly like to be part of the journey, if that's the case. And so it sort of comes, you know, the question that follows from this is, well, how do we respond? You know, if we're settled on the why, and we can see current reality but trust for the character of God, then Lord, how is it that you're inviting us to respond? What might be those next steps for us corporately, but also, you know, individually? What's next? You might recall that Jacinda showed that short video of the interview with Dr. Stuart Piggin, where he was talking about those most common precursors, you know, to revival stories through history. Extraordinary prayer, unexpected unity, and heightened expectation. Extraordinary prayer, unexpected unity, heightened expectation. You know, so perhaps a good place to start is how we might sort of engage with each of those. Prayer, unity, expectation. And honestly, I know that it's really easy with this sort of stuff to slip very quickly into that, well, you've just got to pray more. You've just got to believe more. You just got to. You know, and it's not that those things aren't necessarily part of the mix, but it feels to me a little bit cart before the horse. You know, those things come out of that desire, that stirring to see God move, right? I want to see the kingdom of God expand. I want to see my friends' lives impacted by the gospel of Jesus. I want to see this nation healed. I want to see the church of Jesus be healthy. Therefore, I turn to God in prayer and I ask him to move on our behalf. Therefore, I bless other churches rather than criticize and pull them down and other Christians. Therefore, I look for the activity of the kingdom of God and I expect to see it. You know, it's those things flowing out of that stirring and that hunger. And I think that there are some really positive signs around us of God doing those things. Even just the other week, a few weeks ago, I went into Open Heaven Auckland. We've been doing this for a few years, and there are these prayer meetings just to invite people to come along and to worship and pray for our city. And they're happening all over the country in different centres. And so I went along, a few of us went down and enjoyed the night. Actually, I took a short little video that's definitely nothing fancy, but it'll give you the idea of Spark Arena, chock-a-block, with Christians from all sorts of different churches coming together to worship and pray. I think capacity of Spark Arena is 12,000, and you had some of it cut out with, you know, the way that they'd done the stage and stuff, so I think there were over 10,000 people there. That's encouraging, isn't it? come along next year. Come and be a part of it. It'll encourage your heart to see the church of Jesus coming together to pray. If you are looking for some ways to help stir you in that prayer, unity, expectation, if you are looking to engage in that some way, I just want to talk for a moment about some of the different opportunities that you have, that we have as a church. It's not an exhaustive list. Some of them structured, some of them unstructured. But just some ways that we could help to step into this, to be stirred in our journeys with God. We're in Lent, as Caitlin talked about just before. You know, these 40 days in the lead up to Easter Sunday, practices to help prepare us for Easter, for the resurrection. And we've got a resources page that's got all sorts of great stuff, great ways of being able to engage within this season. On Tuesday nights, I know that the time doesn't work for everyone, but if you can come 5:45 to 6:30 in the hub, we're just going to have some prayer meetings throughout Lent. You're welcome to come and join us to pray. We have a prayer email that goes out at the end of every week. On that email are things and needs within our church whānau that people have specifically asked us to pray on their behalf for. If you want to have something on that email for people to pray for, or if you want to receive that email so that you can be praying for others within your church family, then you can do that. admin@coast.org.nz. Just email, so add me to the list, easy ads. We talked about this concept even just this week called prayer pockets. And we know that prayer pockets are actually happening all over the place where people gather and pray, but maybe there is an invitation here to gather with some others to pray specifically. So you might have a regular walk that you do on the beach. You know, 30 minutes walking down the beach, and I'm happy for others to come and join me for that. You could put it on our Facebook community page, or you could let us know, and we could just let others know. What if we had prayer pockets all over the coast? You know, just praying, covering the coast in prayer. Maybe in your group life, you know, you could specifically make a point of intentional prayer in some way. We got a new group, for example, on Monday nights, House of Miracles focus group, where they are gathering to pray specifically for miracles. If you need a miracle of healing, you could go along, be a part of that group, or help others to pray. Prayer pockets that could just help us to be stirred in our prayer. Sunday prayer meeting on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning here in the room at 9:30. It's just a brief prayer meeting, got the added bonus of coffee and connection afterwards. But you come, gather and pray. Just all of our teams come together and we put aside the doings and we're like, Lord, more than the doings, we want you. Come and help us cover this place in prayer every Sunday morning. There's other opportunities as well, but one little thing that's got a bit more attached to it is a prayer space. We'll do all sorts of other things through the year, just, you know, corporately as we navigate through the year, inviting us to pray together. But a prayer space, well, it's just, we just thought that we'd throw this idea out there. This is one of the things that we have thought for a long time would be really cool to have, is that we'd have a permanent place where people could come and pray. And obviously we have the hub, you know, offices and meeting space and so forth in Agency Lane there. But it's a really busy, you know, place. And it doesn't really work that well for us to set up that sort of space. But just underneath the hub, on the ground level, there is a space that's come up for lease. And so, you know, obviously there's a catch. It's not free. It's about 30K for the year. It's 600 a week. But we just thought, why don't we just mention that in case it grabs someone's imagination in a significant way? You know, just the intention of, we would love to create a space somehow, whether it's, you know, just to come and to pray. I hope that made sense. I suddenly thought as I was rattling on. Anyway, it's a live conversation, this invitation that we sense for us as we're coming into the year and This invitation from God to be a people of surrendered prayer. And we'd love this to move beyond a topic that we talked about for a few weeks and had some nice slides for, to something that we carry in our hearts. And we want to invite you into that, all of us. Lord, we have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. We wonder what God might be leading us into. As I sort of draw this to a close this morning, I just really wanted to create some space where we could pray into this. And so actually, Thomas et al., maybe, if you want to come and join me, that'd be awesome. Thanks, man. And I know that there are a number of people here who you've really got this on your heart. And I actually want to invite you to come and help us pray and pray over us. I'm gonna ask that if you're part of Coast Vineyard, we know you, that you're invited, you're welcome to come and do this. If you're visiting with us, you may well be a very, very solid Christian. I'm just going to ask you to join with us in praying from where you are rather than coming forward. Just in a time like this, we want to step in together with confidence. That's just why we're doing that. You know, we'll be in different realities, right? Different senses of sort of expectation, of stirring about this, or maybe those hesitancies are really close to the surface for us. But let's be a people of prayer, right? So could I ask us all, let's stand. Nicole, we'll need a couple of microphones. This is really on your heart, and we're not looking for fancy prayers. We don't do that here, you know. You don't need to have some sort of eloquent thing. It can just be a short prayer. That's fine. That's not the point. Just a heart to see renewal and revival. If that's you, you've got that on your heart, can you just slip out of your seat right now and just come down to the front and help us pray into this? Yeah, keep coming. And if I need to, I'll sort of, you know, guide things a little. Don't be offended if I move a song or anything. Why don't you guys come and face that way? We'll just hand the microphone around a little bit. If those hesitancies for you are really at the surface and you're really not sure about this, please don't feel condemned. This is invitation. There may be some conviction in there, and that's okay. God does that on purpose in our lives. But may this be a moment where you just open yourselves up a little bit as we pray about this. Okay? And, final thing, Mike, then you can kick us off. This is not spectator sport. All right? As people are praying, we're agreeing. We're praying with. Okay? We can lift our voices. I don't mind if it's noisy or quiet. It doesn't matter. But let's join and activate our hearts as we join with others and pray. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just come together with you in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There is power in the midst. It's your power, Lord. You are drawing us all near to you. It's happening on the coast. It's happening on the Mondays. It's happening on the Tuesdays. It's happening on the Wednesdays. There is power in this congregation. We need to just unite and draw what you can provide only.
Lord, I want to pray for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in our lives. I want to pray for us to think in our hearts of all the things that you've done in our lives already, and that will be an encouragement into the future, that we can believe in revival, we can believe in your Holy Spirit to come down and be with us. Lord God, show us those times that you've shown up and you've healed us. Show us the faithfulness that you've already given us so that we can move forward and know in confidence that you will change lives and you will heal and you will bring revival in our community, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Father, we just lift up this day to you, Lord. We pray that we might know your heart, that we might be a people of humbleness, Lord, that we might get on our knees and have unexpected prayer. Lord, a heart after you, O God, we pray. Give us this nation, we ask.
Father, I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, Lord, that it's not our ability, but our availability. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of new beginnings. And I thank you, Lord, that we can put aside just one or two things in our very busy lives, that we can just put it aside and step into a new beginning of being available. It's not on our ability, but on yours. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading and your guiding. May you stir our hearts with those things, Father.
Yes, dear Lord, we come to you this morning with hearts that are yielded to you, hearts that are crying out for you this morning. God, we're crying out to you to come and meet us where we are right now at this place. Father, we're crying out for those that we love that don't know you. We're crying out for those that we work with that don't know you, Lord God. Give us a heart to go out and share our testimony. Lord, you spoke to us, you called us, and you're calling those people around us right now. The harvest is ripe, but the reapers are few. Father, we pray that you are the Lord of the harvest. Go with us as we go today and give us a heart for those that we come across this week, Lord God, that we will have testimonies to bring into this church next week, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reading from Isaiah 12, verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. And Lord, you have placed a deep thirst within each of us for you. Lord, I am reminded that we are to come to you and drink deeply from your wells of salvation. Only you satisfy, only you save. And I see a gentle upwelling of water pooling around our feet, a gentle upwelling of the Spirit rising up around us. This gentle, beautiful tide of the Spirit. And so, Lord, we come to you, yes, in humility, and we drink deeply from your wells of salvation. Thank you. When we're praying this morning, I felt the word that we would be surprised by the presence of God. So, yes, Lord, we just we stand in expectation and we ask, surprise us, Lord, with your presence and your glory.
Father God, I just thank you for your glory here today. Lord God, we usher you in. Father God, we submit to you our hearts. We open up our hearts before you now in the name of Jesus. Father God, come in. Come in and search our hearts. Know every part of us. I pray in Jesus' name that we would encounter you in such a way that the fire of God would come and fall on our hearts and lead us into you, more into you, Father God, that we would grab hold of the fire of God in our hearts in Jesus' name and be motivated to step out, Father God, from where we are and see the opportunities that you bring before us in Jesus' name to keep stepping into all that you have for us. Father God, we lay our lives down before you now. In Jesus' name, we surrender every part of our lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Glory, the glory of God, come, we pray in Jesus' name. And fill this space and fill our hearts and fill our communities as we step out in obedience before you in Jesus' name.
God, we thank you that we are a community of believers that come together every Sunday morning. But God, we ask, give us that calling to go out and now into our community, to go out together, to go out united, to hear your voice and to run with it. So God, we just pray that you would bring your Holy Spirit to us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit from our head to our toes, and that we go out with courage and bravery, but it's bravery from you, God. So Holy Spirit, come and flood this room so we can go out and shine your light to those that may have never felt it before, that have never felt your love, that feel hopeless, that feel broken. That Holy Spirit, you would come and you would break chains in our community. So Holy Spirit, come.
Father, we recognize that the need for revival indicates that something or someone has had removed from their life energy, zeal, or hunger that existed at one point, but for some reason it has gone to sleep, been knocked out, or is close to death and needs reviving. For some, they need a nudge to be woken up. For others, they may need a slap or a shake to get them going. For others, they may spiritually need the electric paddles like they use in the hospital to spiritually bring it back to life. Wherever an individual is at, if they'll be honest before God, we'll see that revival starts in the heart of each person who professes to be a follower of Jesus. When we, as the people of God, allow him to put the burden that he had when he went to the cross for our souls and our hearts, then we will experience revival.
Father, I thank you that we live in seasons. As I came up, Lord, you just showed me we are spring, summer, fall, and winter. God, we're coming into fall where we see the trees lose their leaves. Father, I pray that in our spirits, in our hearts, in our minds, we stay in spring and for summer. Lord, that you would revive our hearts to you, Almighty God. Lord, that you would hold the season within us and rebirth that season of spring and summer, wanting to give out and to enjoy you and who you are, but not just for ourselves, Lord, but for the world and for the community around us. So, Father, help us to spring up, oh well, your life within us, that we would overflow out into our world and be in spring and summer through this fall and winter season. In Jesus' name.
Hey, if you're comfortable, why don't you just lift up your hands, just as a posture of openness. Just for 30 seconds or so, why don't you begin to lift your voices as well. Come on, let's just begin to pray together. Everyone just joining in all at once. Thank you, Jesus. God, we bring you our prayers. Father, would you come in our midst in this time and this season, Lord God, this day. Father, to come and do what you can only do, Lord God. God, draw people's hearts to yourself, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in a powerful way, Lord God. Thank you with everything that we have, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. So Lord, we pray into this, God. Lord, whatever is in store next, God, we want to say collectively that we're up for it, that it's our yes, Lord. God, let us not be motivated by what the culture would say or what we would have desires in our hearts to be like the neighbors next door or whatever, Lord God. Father, may our hearts be captured by you, God, and your heart for every person, for none to perish, but all to be able to come and find you, find hope, find life, find wholeness in you, Lord God. So as we've been praying, Father, we would say, come and use us in our own inadequacies, in our own humanness, Lord God. Father, would you come and be God amongst us and use us for your glory. Whatever this week may look like, Lord, may we have eyes to see that glimmer of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Well, thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.